Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway at 9:19, brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. For a delicious cup of coffee every morning, whether at your home, at your office, or when you're out and about, stop at a local convenience store and pick up a cup of Harvest Ridge from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Well, the Dogwood Festival is just around the corner. You heard that you can get the best seat in town right there near 16th and Main. The bleachers put up by the Lorenzo Bull House, the Friends of Lorenzo Bull, and they've got a miniature carnival and food trucks and all kinds of things. And their backdoor neighbor, the Art Center, is going to be helping to participate in that too. Sandra Height is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Now, once the parade passes by, people will be naturally drawn to the downtown area and the Art Center, which is a great place to be in the morning and during the parade on the grounds. Then after the parade passes by, just walk downtown, and there's a lot going on with the Dogwood Downtown Art Walk. Is this the first time you've been doing this?
It is.
Okay, tell us all about it, please.
Yes, exactly as you say, after the parade, there will be some people who might want to stay and ride the rides at Lorenzo Bull and pet some puppies, but we're hoping eventually people will make their way down to the downtown area. We are focused on 19 local businesses who are participating and 19 local area artists. So this gives our artists an opportunity to showcase their beautiful artwork in this one-day pop-up galleries in each of the 19 locations. And it also gives businesses an opportunity to bring people into their places of business, have something to eat, do a little shopping, hang around Quincy after the parade has gone by. So we're hoping in this inaugural downtown art walk on Dogwood Parade Day that it will only be the first of many opportunities to celebrate our wonderful downtown.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the artists who might be presenting and some of the types of artwork? Because I know jewelry and acrylics and maybe pencil and, I mean, sculpture. Art is very hard to define, and it looks like you're going to have a lot of opportunity to see a lot of different things.
Absolutely. So we have demonstrations and artist talks as well. Steve Ryan will demonstrate his Avara pottery at Quincy Brewing Company. Chris Taylor is going to give an artist talk at 644 Main at 11:30. And well-known watercolorist Kelly Eddington will be at Square Music to talk about watercolor and her paintings of the band U2. Austin Roberts will be at the Poor House, and Jennifer Bach-Nelson will have a talk at Sweet Apricot.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's very exciting. Martha Walden is going to be at Quincy Audiology, and she's going to not only exhibit her art, she's going to provide an interactive gel print experience.
Okay, I have no idea what that means. What is an interactive gel print experience?
You know, Martha is quite an abstract artist, quite a celebrated one, and you will just have to come and see.
Okay, because we can't describe it because it's going to be spur of the moment. It's going to be created right there, and that's what great art is. A lot of times, what did he say? Just get a block of marble and start chipping away until the statue appears. So it is amazing. I remember watching an artist perform live. It was at the Quincy Art Center. And I forget what the event was, but it was a really lovely event. And I remember they got it to just where I thought it was perfect. And then they kept going. And I went, oh, now I don't like it. So it is interesting knowing when to stop sometimes.
It absolutely is. Artists will often talk about the ick phase, too, that they go through. And they just have to persevere and get to the other side until it becomes something that they consider beautiful.
Yeah, if you stop too soon, it's not there. And if you go too long, it's not. They kept adding paint. And I kept saying, stop. It was perfect just the way it was. But, of course, art is in the eye of the beholder.
It absolutely is.
And so something that I find not attractive at all, somebody else will find attractive, and that is the beauty of art and why this chance on Dogwood Festival Day to get ourselves downtown, support our local merchants, maybe purchase some of these items from these local artisans. A lot of people how many people, do you have any idea? I mean, there's no registry, I guess. How many people make their primary living in, as what you would call an artist?
Well, surprisingly, in this area, I would say dozens of people make their art. One of the opportunities people will have to view is Peggy Burchard Ballard's studio, which is right next to Washington Theater, and they can go up into an artist studio and see her work in progress as well as her finished products. She's a collage artist.
I know that recently at a Horizons fundraiser, Low of London was there, and she was doing 10-minute portraitures. And I have some of her earlier artwork when she first moved back from London, back to her hometown of Quincy. And it's interesting. It's very stylized. I happen to like it very much. I've showed it to some people. It's on display in my home. And they're like, it's a stick figure. Big deal. I'm like, yeah, but big deal. You can't do it. Neither can I. And really, that is the thing. You look at a piece of artwork and you think, well, now, how the hell hard could that be?
Yes, until they've tried it. Laura is an incredibly
right.
talented
Laura.
Artist.
And so I think that sometimes, I think that a lot. I think, now I'm going to do that. And no, it doesn't quite, because you can go to these places
right.
where you can paint your own pottery and stuff. And my husband and I have an original work of art that we created together. And it is on display in our home. And sometimes when people come over, I remove it because I don't want them to say, what garage sale was having to put that in that throwaway bin? But it's I really had an idea of what I wanted it to be, and what it turned out was not quite what my mind's eye said.
Absolutely.
However, my husband and I made it together, so we love it, of course. But yeah, it's not as easy as it seems.
It's not, and that's why one of our missions in this community and in the whole region really is to give our local artists opportunity for their work to be seen, to showcase that. It is one of our obligations to do that. But I think people will be absolutely amazed by the variety and talent that we do have when they wander in the district and get to see all of the local area artists. And of course, for the ones that are present, to hear them talk about what they're inspired by and their craft and the skill that they have.
And if you like something and you like that style, you may be able to commission a piece of work.
Yes, you can. Or buy it right then.
Now, let's talk about, by and large, it's free because these buildings are open to the public. I mean, you're going to go in and buy other things and the artist is there. But there are some special, you can pay a little bit more and become a VIP, I guess, is what I'm
Absolutely.
Trying to say.
Absolutely. We're hoping that people will take advantage of buying what we call VIP wristbands. For adults, it's $25, and for children 12 and under, it's only $10. But there are amazing perks that you can get with that. For the children, we have the Quincy Children's Museum, who's partnering with us, and so families can go in and do art with an artist in there. We're going to have face painting, one of the all-time favorites, and we're also going to have a maker space in the Washington Theater, where children can come in and create with all sorts of objects, found objects, loose parts, and all of these are run by artists in these areas. So we're hoping that's one of the things they do. For adults, you get a little bit more than the entertainment. You get discounts. For example, if you go to Poppin' on Main, you get 10% off. 8 Open is going to have some special food there that is going to be discounted. Udry Jewelry is actually going to have a drawing for some beautiful jewelry. And many of the places have more than one perk that's available that you can only have if you have on your wristband that you're able to enjoy these very special perks. And so we hope that people will take advantage of that on the day.
Now, the Quincy Arts Center, this is your first ever attempt at this, tying in with the thousands of people who flock to watch the Dogwood Parade, trying to entice more people to stay in our downtown area at the conclusion of the parade and to visit our downtown merchants. Obviously, at the prices you're charging, I wouldn't even call this a fundraiser. It's more of expressing interest or raising awareness, I guess, because at $25 a pop, hopefully you'll, because it takes some money to put this on. I mean, it's not just like, oh, it just happens magically. No. Sandra Heights going, no, I wish it did happen magically, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We actually, everything we do, we try to make affordable because our main goal is to provide opportunities for children and families to experience art, create art, enjoy art. So these fees are twofold. One is to entice them to come into our special businesses. So if you go to, for example, Expressions by Christine, you have a chance for a drawing of a $50 gift certificate. So it's great for our local artists such as her, but it's also helps us to cover a little bit of our costs for advertising and marketing and things like that.
Well, it's a win-win because there may be some people who never have been into a shop. And this will entice them to step inside because they want to see the artist that is in there. And so you said 19 different businesses are participating. And so for some of them, it won't take very long to peruse. For others, like the Quincy Children's Museum, you could probably stay in there for quite some time. But the main thing is there will be some artists actually creating work while you watch, while others may have their finished work there and explain about their muse and their style and how their style developed. And again, it's the kind of thing that we all think, well, I could do that, couldn't I? I mean, I can find an old radiator belt and a hair barrette and a shoe with a tennis shoe with the laces missing, and I could make that collage, maybe not. A mobile out of bowling balls. You know, I don't know, but it seems to me like every time I see something that I think I could do, I can't do it. So I'm very fascinated by these artists that can do all of this. And it'll be a great chance. So $25 for adults, children 10 and under, $10. And it gives them some special perks along the way, discounts at different merchants and things like that. How do they get those tickets?
They can get them right now if they want to go to the Quincy Arts Center website. We do have those available. We're also going to have two locations right there en route, and one of them is going to be just at the base of the parking lot and entrance to First Mid Bank, right on Main Street. And there's a kiosk there, and we're also going to have one at the Washington Street Theater. Everything we have is indoors, Mary, because we don't know about the weather.
As they say, it always rains on Dogwood Festival.
That's right. So the only possibility of getting rained on will be just walking to and from the businesses. But everything from the face painting to the demonstrations is going to be protected. And we also have a musician playing at the plaza at First Mid Bankers Trust. So we're also a little bit excited to have a little bit of performing arts for families. If it is a beautiful day, come sit on the grass, have a snack that you've purchased at one of our local businesses or a drink, and enjoy the music.
Okay. What are the hours of this?
It starts at 11 a.m. and ends at 4.
Okay.
So we will all be ready as soon as the last floats are leaving the district, we will already have started these sort of businesses so that people can enjoy that. We also have, for some people who want to start a little earlier, they can go to Times Square, and we've got a little early bird VIP perk that people can go there and have coffee or breakfast if they want that ahead of time. And also Wine Gal and Whiskey Guy is going to have a little after hour treat for people who might be a little tired and want to sit down and relax at the end. So we're kind of capping it off before and after with a few special perks for people who have the wristband.
I like it. Get the wristband. Enjoy this first ever event, hopefully an annual event. You know, the Dogwood Parade is so lovely, and you sit there and you relax and you watch it walk by. But this year, choose a location a little bit closer to downtown, and then you can just throw the lawn chair back in the car trunk, or frankly, just carry it with you. You might stake it out somewhere, you know, and just sit and watch people walk by. 19 businesses are participating. Go to the Quincy Arts Center website or stop by 1515 Jersey, I'm sure, for more information. Now, this is the last 2 weeks, the last few days of your exhibit that's up right now. And what hours is the Art Center open?
The Art Center is open from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. From Wednesday through Saturday. We're also open Monday and Tuesday if people give us a call. We always open our doors for people. And it is the Mangelson Life in the Wild, beautiful wildlife photography. And that is only up until the end of May. So hopefully people will come out.
Oh, it's
up
the end of April.
No, it's up to the end of
May. Oh, the end of May?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So we have a little bit more time to come
next?
See it. The next one is going to be our celebration of the bicentennial of Adams County. We have so many. We really have three distinct exhibits coming up that I will be looking forward to talking about next time.
Okay, we look forward to that as well. Sandra Height, the Executive Director of the Quincy Arts Center at 1515 Jersey. They're open 11 to 6 Wednesday through Saturday. Get in and see their many exhibits. And, you know, it's just a fantastic thing. And enjoy the first ever art crawl, art walk, down, you don't have to crawl, you can be upright, down in the district on Dogwood Festival Day, May 3rd. So follow the parade and just head on down. We're going to take a break, head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. This report is brought to you by Rex Battery. Welcome back to Mary Griffith Show. And yesterday was Sunday, but Friday. See, if it's not a news day, I just don't count it. Heath Richmond was talking with me because we got a notification that the RSVP program, Retired Senior Volunteer Program, amazingly was not funded for the first time in many, many years. And so RSVP, as we know it, will cease to exist in the Quincy, Brown, Scott, Pike, Adams area on May 7th. But the program is not going away. And so we're going to explain that in depth today. Welcome, Heath Richmond.
Yeah. Well, the program name will change because we're not going to be part of the Federal AmeriCorps program for the time being.
You can't use that trademark
name. So we're not going to be using that name. We will still reference it as RSVP, but we're going to be Volunteer Services, which is what the department that oversees this project is at John Wood already. So we're just going to answer the phone a little different, and but we're still going to be doing exactly the same thing we've been doing, supporting organizations that need volunteers and supporting those people 55 and older in the community that want to volunteer. Our funding formula has changed a little bit, and we're kind of exploring what our options are going to be. We have funding in place for the next several months, though, and so it's business as usual with RSVP. We're just going to have to look at how we move forward with that project, and we're going to be looking at maybe additional community partnerships, additional funding options, whether that be fundraisers or other grants we can apply for. And we weren't not funded because we don't have a great program. It just so happens that they had twice as many applications on great programs this year than they had funding to fund. So we have been invited to reapply at the next cycle, which we're looking at that option as well. But for right now, it's National Volunteer Week, and we're here to support our volunteers and do all the great things that all the people in Quincy expect us from us and that we've been doing for 54 years.
National Volunteer Week, and what better way to kick it off than with RSVP? And again, that name is trademarked, so after May 7th, they won't officially be able to use that name. However, the work will continue and will be almost identical. And here's where we really need to put out a urgent cry to people, which I know that Heath educated me last month when he was on the show. I do a lot of volunteer work, and I'm eligible as an RSVP volunteer. All I have to do is record my hours that I've worked, and the Quincy office gets credit for that. And of course, the more volunteers you have giving more community service, you know, it's a little more shine on your halo. And so that's one thing that people can do to support the program is report the hours that you're already volunteering.
Absolutely. I think a lot of the people who volunteer, we call them unsung heroes, but a lot of times they're not doing it for recognition or credit. But when we can highlight and emphasize all those hours that are given back to the community, it makes it so it's easy for us to say, hey, we need support for this, and let's look at all these people. Last year, we had 498 different volunteers turn in hours, and we did 78,000 hours worth of volunteer service that got reported. Having been in the volunteer service business for 25 years, that was the reported hours. That's not anywhere close to the amount of hours that people have been giving back to the community, and not just those 55 and older. We're very fortunate to live in a community that the spirit of volunteerism is alive and well in Quincy, Illinois, even if it's not, not just Quincy, but the entire tri-state area.
The Midwest, really, this whole area really shines when it comes to helping our neighbor. But again, you're not going to get paid for it. There's no thing that's going to happen to you because you report, but it makes this agency look better. And as long as we're doing all of this, it's nice to get the recognition, and it may be helpful in re-getting that grant, because now the funding's been lost. Now we're going to see in the months to come how that impacts the program that we now call RSVP. Now, for a lot of people, they go to the same place every week or every month, and they're not going to change that just because Heath isn't reminding them to go. But there could be a loss in volunteers, and what's the first thing you're afraid of? Is that somebody calls and says, for a special event, I need 10 volunteers to stuff envelopes, or, oh, I remember one time we had to put candy in plastic Easter eggs, and WTAD volunteered to do that. Never again. But again, stuff like that you call at the last minute and say, would you mind doing this for us? Or, you know, in a month from now, we have this opportunity. Are you worried about things like that?
A little bit. And a lot of the non-for-profits and organizations that use RSVP volunteers, their staffs are very small. That's why they rely so much on volunteers. So when the Quincy Civic Music Association calls and says, hey, we need posters distributed throughout Quincy for our upcoming show, they call my office. I find volunteers to do that. They have a great board, and they have great volunteers that work with them, but that's just one of those things that they don't have to worry about. A lot of things like mailings. If an organization needs a mailing
news
done.
News and views from the senior center. Now, I'm sure a lot of it's the same people that come every month, but if there's any attrition, if there's any sicknesses, you're not going to be the one that's going to be then calling and getting those volunteers. It could start to diminish.
It could, but we're committed to making sure that the services we provide will remain in Adams County and Brown and Pike counties as well. They just may be looking a little bit different, and the phone number you call may change, and the person answering the phone may be a different person. But we believe in our program. We have wonderful support at John Wood Community College for us going through this situation. They're looking at all the ways that they can help to ensure this continues, because if they didn't believe in the program, they wouldn't have been sponsoring it since 1977.
Now, you mentioned sponsoring, but sponsoring is not paying. The program is paid by this grant, which was not renewed. So starting in June or July, we're going to start seeing some repercussions. Two offices are going to close.
Well, the offices themselves are not going to close. The part-time staff that we have in the offices in Brown County and Pike County, the funding for those two positions does go away in June. We do have some money in place that we'll still be able to have staff at the main office in Quincy. I'm just going to be spending a little bit more time on the road, going to visit those two counties. And the staff that John Wood has there doing other jobs have already volunteered to help collect data and pass that information on to Quincy. One of the nice things about being in a quality organization like John Wood, and the fact that our facilities of the community has supported us in creating these wonderful facilities, is when somebody calls that office in Brown County, I can just take that phone and transfer it to my office. So there's still going to be somebody to answer that phone. They just might not be sitting in Mount Sterling. They'll be in Quincy. And so we'll still continue to support our volunteers and do the things we're doing. Are things going to change? Absolutely. But in the world we're living in right now, if you think things are going to stay status quo and stay the same, you're living in a dream world. And we know that this community is going to step up and support us. They always have. And we'll figure out what we're going to do, and because that's just the way you have to do it. And here in the Midwest, we know how to pull up our boots and get the job done.
Well, you mentioned things are going to change, and again, let's go over. How many volunteer hours did you record recently in the past year or so?
Last year, we recorded 78,000 hours.
So 78,000 hours were given by volunteers in Adams, Brown, and Pike counties.
Correct.
Okay. And that was under the auspices of John Wood Community College, although they give you no money, and there's no money in their budget. But you are now thinking, we might have to do a fundraiser, or we might have to ask for a corporate sponsor to tide us over. You will. When's the earliest you can know if you're going to be funded again for another cycle?
Well, we've been invited to apply for the next cycle, which that grant would application would be due in September. The announcement would not come out until next March.
And you probably wouldn't get the money until...
It would start April 1st.
Okay.
That grant cycle, they announce it in March for an April 1st start date.
So, again...
So almost a year.
Almost a year. So, one of the things that's going to happen is some of the volunteers who've maybe been volunteers and have administrative abilities are going to have to step up and help run the RSVP, now known as John Wood Volunteer Services. Maybe they're going to have to step up and help their own organization.
We've already had volunteers step up and volunteer to do that. And in the past, we've often had volunteers come in and do some of the data entry and things like that for us. So we utilize our own volunteers for work already. So it's not a big change in that regard. And the positions we have in Mount Sterling and Pittsfield are not full-time positions. They're part-time jobs. And it was more just to have somebody on site to collect things and do the day-to-day things and have that personal connection within that community. The fortunate thing for me when I took this job 3 years ago is whether it was my community foundation experience or my Boy Scout experience, I've worked in Brown and Pike County for 25 years. So when I show up to things in those communities, I'm not a stranger that's just walking in the door. I know who to talk to. I know the people there because I've been working with them for 25 years. And I think that was a big benefit for me taking this job. It was also a big bonus for me taking this job because I'm working in communities I'm familiar with. It wasn't completely new to me. If I talk to somebody at the Brown County United Way, I know them. It's not making a new connection. If I go to Pittsfield and I talk to the school district, it's a connection I already have. And so that's what made this job so great for me and why I'm committed to making sure we keep this program alive and running.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Heath Richmond, who's the director of the RSVP, Retired Senior Volunteer Project, those 55 and older who are looking for volunteer opportunities and those agencies who need volunteers to help their not-for-profit run more efficiently. This has been a great partnership for many, many years. Now, the federal funding has been lost, and we will have to go a few months without that federal funding until hopefully we can get funded again. So, we'll talk about strategies when we come back. It's 9:51. We are back. Heath Richmond is my guest today. And those of you who did not hear the news on Friday, RSVP will no longer be funded, at least not for the coming year, by the federal government. John Wood Community College will continue to allow them to have their offices in Brown, Pike, and Adams County. But there will be no funding forthcoming. At least we don't perceive any funding forthcoming from John Wood. And so it's going to be interesting. A volunteer project is going to have to rely on volunteers to keep it afloat for about a year until possibly a new funding cycle. And even then, you don't know, we hope. But this is interesting. What are maybe the top three things you're most afraid will happen? And then we'll talk about the most positive aspects of this.
Well, the things we worry most about, of course, is that some of our seniors who this is their social connection, the volunteerism that they do, that they may get lost in the shuffle and not have that connection anymore. But I think most of our partners that we work with, that these volunteers are already in those stations, will keep their service. I mean, the Salvation Army's not going anywhere. The senior center's not going anywhere. So all those volunteer spots that people volunteer in are still going to be there. We just worry that maybe some folks might get who could be connected to those places through RSVP are not going to. We also worry about that just some of those agencies that rely on us to provide them the volunteer services. Because you talk about us being reliant on volunteers. There's a lot of organizations out there in our communities that there are no paid staff. It is all volunteers that run them, and whether that's the Friends of the Log Cabin or any number of these other nonprofits in our community, I do worry about that they might not be able to. We're kind of a conduit for volunteers for them, that they can. They know they can reach out to me, and I have a connection with these 500 plus people who are looking for things to do. Now, the interesting thing about volunteers is that I can ask 500 people if they want to help, and if they don't want to, they're like, nope, not interested in that. But so that's a kind of an interesting dynamic some days as well. But I worry about that some of those small nonprofits might struggle to find their volunteers. But we're going to help create an outlet no matter what happens. And John Wood is committed to us having this having as little impact as possible on the community and the services we provide. John Wood is super supportive of this program, has been for almost the entire time John Wood's been in existence. They took this on as a community project to emphasize the community side of community college many, many years ago. And I don't think that they any of us want it to go away, but the reality is that our funding went away. And we're looking at new ways to possibly do that. And we're doing a lot of research right now on how we can go about that. So we don't have all those answers yet. But as soon as we come up with those answers, I'll come back and let you know.
One of the things that could be, interesting, folks, there is a kind of a deadline coming up to get your name in. Not really, but if you're interested in doing volunteering and you've always thought, well, one of these days I'll get around to it, I would go ahead and get my name in with RSVP, and they'll ask you some questions while they still have staff to ask you some questions. Do you like administrative work? Do you want to stuff envelopes? Do you want to be involved, boots on the ground, greeting people? I don't want to be around humans. I want to do something in, an office that I'm by myself. I'd rather push paper than be with humans, or I'd rather be with humans than push paper, or I don't mind emptying trash cans, or I don't mind, doing this, or running around and putting up posters somewhere since I'm about town all the time. If you are a person looking for volunteer assignments, now is the perfect time to sign up.
Absolutely. And to sign up for RSVP, it's real simple. Our email address is just rsvp@jwcc.edu. I'm not planning to change that because we're hoping that a year from now we're going to get our federal grant back and all that will be back in place. You can also call my office. My office number is 217-641-4960, and that will reach our offices out at John Wood, the Volunteer Services office. We're in the Paul Heath building, and which is the north end of the main campus building. I always tell people it's easy. It's the building that's got my name on the front. So that's where I work. You can just stop by and see us, and we'll be more than happy to talk to you and visit with you and let you know what opportunities are available.
Okay. Give us that number one more time.
217-641-4960.
4960. 217-641-4960. Folks, please volunteer. They need you now more than ever. Thank you so much, Heath Richmond.
Thank you, Mary.